Let's begin a very, very quick review of what happened on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, because Nun Zayin and Amud Aleph Amud Beis are both basically inversions. This is not uncommon where you have basically the same source, and if you sort of tilt one variable, you get an opposite reading. And the Gemara will go through both stages. But the starting principle is the following. Rav and Shmuel each had a particular shita when it came to Stam Yenam. Rav believed that a Tinok Ben Yomo, I mean, a baby, I mean, he has no idea what he's doing, makes Yayin Nesach, but only that you're not allowed to drink it. You're allowed to get Hana'ah from it. Shmuel has this idea that if a Nachri converts for the first 12 months, the way Rabbi Shua ben Levi says it, he makes, even though he's Jewish now, if he converts to be, let's say, an Eved, a Nachri converts to be an Eved, even though he's Jewish, he makes something Yayin Nesach ad sheyishtakeh Hashem avodas kochav mipiv, until the Shem avodas zarah is no longer in his mouth. How long is that? That's Shmuel's statement. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says 12 months. Okay, so those Rav and Shmuel each have a chumrah. Okay, so again, Rav claims that a Tinok ben Yomo makes Yayin Nesach to make it aser to drink, and Shmuel says that a Nachri who was converted to be an Eved is Osa Yayin Nesach until Achi Ishtakeh Hashem Avodas Kochav Himenu. This would presumably not apply to a regular Ger. A Ger is converting essentially of his or her own will. They wouldn't be converting fundamentally, you know, if they weren't accepting, monotheistic religion. So that's not a concern. But it's a concern by an Eved who basically isn't really given a choice. An Eved is purchased, then the Eved could refuse to undergo Gir, but it's really not, if the Eved agrees to do the Milah Mitzvila, the Eved is not really being Mekabel Mitzvah, so socially he's going to become part of the Jewish community, and at some point, you know, the way he talks will be like Jews talk, and even if halachically he's Jewish, but nonetheless, he may still be, you know, thinking about his Avodah Zarah for a certain amount of time, and that's what Rabbi Shuman Levi identifies that time period as 12 months. So now the Gemara started, and we read this last time, and read it very quickly, Gufa, on the first wide line on the Zayin Amud Aleph. Gufa Amar Rav, Tinok Ben Yoma Osa Yayin Esach. So that's the statement we just quoted it. Tinok, even a day old, will make Yayin Esach. Eisvei Rav Shimi Bar Chia L'Rav. And this is the crucial brisa that's going to appear on both pages of the Gemara. Halokeach Avadim Ena Ovdei Kochavim, Shemalu V'lo Tavlu. If you buy a non-Jew, an Eved from a non-Jew, and he did Mila, but he didn't do Tvila, which means he's not halachically an Eved Kanani yet. He's not halachically 98%, you know, whatever Jewishness an Eved Kanani has, which is mostly Jewish, he's not that yet. It says, Malu v'lo tavlu. V'chein b'nei ha'shvacho shemalu v'lo tavlu. If you purchased a maidservant, and she hadn't converted yet, and before she converts, before you convert her, before she does the tefillah, she gives birth, so that child, because his mother wasn't yet, a shivcha kananis, also requires conversion. So if you did mila on the children, but you didn't do tefillah, so in those cases, rokan umidrasan bashuk tameh. These are dinim de rabbanan. I explained last time, it's not important what they are now, but these are various kinds of stringencies mid rabbanan by the laws of tumah that apply to non-Jews, and they don't apply by Jews. And in this case, the brisa says that these stringencies of tumah apply by the eved shemol v'lo taval, and by the b'nei ha'shvacho shemol v'lo taval. Then v'amri la, but there's another version that says tahar, that since these, let's say, are only gzeiros mid rabbanan, they don't apply in these cases, because at this point they're already, even though halachically they're zero Jewish, but socially speaking they're already halfway there, right? They've done the mila, they just have to do the tefillah. Now, Yenam, what's the story with their wine? So the Brisa says, Gedolim osen Yayin Nesach, Ketanim ain't osen Yayin Nesach. Gedolim make things into Yayin Nesach, but Ketanim don't make things into Yayin Nesach. And the simple reading here would be, of the Brayis says, Gedolim make things into Yayin Esach, and you're not allowed to get Hana'ah from it. Ketanim don't make it into Yayin Esach, and you can even drink it. In other words, no splitting between Hana'ah versus consumption, personal consumption. So now, V'einlu hen Gedolim v'einlu hen Ketanim, who are Gedolim, who are considered majority for these purposes, who are minority? Gedolim yodim mitiva v'das kochavim m'shamsheha, Ketanim einam yodim mitiva v'das kochavim m'shamsheha. Right? So basically, do they understand about Avodah Zarah and what it means, or do they not? So, if we were to look at this brisa before we read the Gemara's inference, so the simple reading of the brisa is as follows. If I have an Eved Shemol V'lo Taval, or I have B'nei Shvachos Shemol V'lo Tavlu, the same rule applies, right? Either they are Tameh or they're not Tameh. And, in terms of Yayin Esach, if they're Gedolim, they make Yayin Esach. If they're Ketanim, they don't make Yayin Esach. That would be the straightforward reading. But that means, though, as the Gemara says, Katani Mihas, Gedolim in, Ketanim lo. You see that Gedolim, that Ketanim, do not make the Yain Yain Nesach, which is against Rav. Because Rav claimed that a Tinok Ben Yomo of a non-Jew makes the Yain Yain Nesach, but here you have a non-Jew, right? The Eved Shemol Velo Taval, or the Bnei Shvacha Shemol Velo Tavlu, and the Braisa says that that he makes does not make Yain Nesach if he's a Katan. Right? And certainly an Eved Shemol Velo Taval certainly is a guy. He's a straight, in other words, Bnei HaShvachos were born already into an unusual circumstance. But an Eved Shemol Taval was mamish a guy, and if he's a katan, you say he doesn't make Yayin Nesach, then it means a guy who's a katan doesn't make Yayin Nesach. So that's what the Gemara says. Katani mias gedolim in katanim lo. It's against Rav's statement. So the Gemara answers, Tirgama abnei shvachos. Rav can escape, he can pull a Houdini to get out of the Brisa, the attack from the Brisa, by stating no. That the din, that the distinction where we say that a katan doesn't make the Yayin to Yayin Nesach is only applies to bnei shvachos, who were socially born into the Jewish community, so the Chachamim weren't gozer. But if you're talking about an Eved Shlomo Lomovlo Taval, who's a goy mamish, right, he's born as a goy, and so on, and all that he's done at this point is he's done a partial conversion, which halachically counts at this point for zero. So there, Rav says the Braisa would hold that there's no distinction. A gadol and a katan makes Yayin Nesach. It doesn't matter whether he's a tinok ben yoma or whether he's a zaken of mea shana. The same halacha would apply.
What then is Rav said tinok unqualified ben yoma also Yayin Nesach. He didn't say that it was only avadim. He didn't say tinok of avadim. He said tinok.
So I'm not. Listen, the Gemara is answering. The Gemara says, "Tirgama b'nei shvachos." I don't know if it's Rav speaking. The Gemara speaking. The assumption is that Rav would be moda, even though Rav normally says that a tinok ben yomo makes yayin nesach. That's only a tinok ben yomo who's born as a regular guy.
Okay, so it's chiddush. No, but it's reduced Rav.
That's not the problem.
That Rav's only in
correct. You're limiting Rav, but that's not the problem. The problem is the following. The Gemara says, "Havachin ka'amar." The Braisa equates the two, right? It says that Eved Shlomo Velo Taval, Bnei Shvacho Shlomo Velo Tavlu had the same din, V'chein. So the Gemara answers no. Arokan Umidrasan. That V'chein, the equating of these two types of, technically speaking, Goyim, only applies to the Tumah of Rok and Midras, whatever that Tumah is.
How does V'chein work exactly?
What?
Before you get to the Rok and Midras, how do you, V'chein?
Because the Braisa starts out with the following heading. Eved Shemol Velo Taval, V'chein B'nei HaShvachos Shemol Velo Tavlu, these are the dinim.
Right.
And when you say V'chein, before you even see what the dinim are, the Braisa, the simple reading of the Braisa, is the two have the identical din. Rav is making a chiddush here. Rav is claiming that the V'chein, that the equating of the two, only goes on one of the two dinim, not on both. You can. You don't have to like the Okim.
No, I'm saying, so how does it go, when it is going on one, the Yayin?
No.
On the Midras.
On the Tumas. In other words, the A, category A of Goyim, and category B of Goyim, Rokan and Midrash and Bashul Tame.
Let me ask the question before.
Okay, V'chein Kama.
Before you get to Rokan and Midrash, so just stop over there for a minute. V'chein Kama. Actually, it's going, but now the V'chein is going just like it's. They don't ask what's true by
Ketanim shvachos. Don't make Yayin Nesach.
What's true by shvachos will be true by
Eved Shlomo Velo
Taval. But it's going the opposite direction. Because v'chein, usually you think of it, it's going in the forward direction. You know, avadim v'chein. Well, that was true by Eved.
But you're starting with the wrong premise. In other words, the question of the Gemara is: it doesn't matter whether you say A and B. It doesn't matter which. The point is, at the end of the day, they have to be the same. It doesn't matter that it's obvious to us by that it has to apply to one. If you're asking a question against Rav, what you're saying is as follows. A katan doesn't make Yayin Nesach.
Yeah.
And when the Braisa says, that's what the Braisa says, and when the Braisa says, Eved Shlomo Taval, V'chein, B'nei HaShvacho, Shlomo Tavlu, and then they tell you the din of katan doesn't make Yayin Nesach, you see that it applies to both. It doesn't matter which is the, which it's a greater chiddush
by. No, I'm not saying it's going to be a question, I'm just saying that the direction of V'chein usually...
Okay. Fine.
It by A should be also by B.
So now the Gemara says, Arukan u'midrasan. The V'chein only equates for one of the dinim, the first of the two, that they have the same din of Tuma, but they don't have the exact same din of Yayin Esach. By Yayin Esach, they have the same din that Gedolah make Yayin Esach. They don't have the same din that an Eved Shlomo Mol V'lo Taval, even a Katan makes Yayin Esach. Whereas B'nei HaShvachos, their Rav would admit that they won't make Yayin Esach if they are Ketanim. So now the Gemara says, Hanicha lamanda amar tame and lamanda amar tara ma'ika lamemar. So the Gemara says, that only makes sense if you want to argue that their tumah applies to both. And this is what you said is correct, Sam, and the way Rashi explains. In other words, if you say that both of them are tame, so then we understand the braisa. But if you say the lashon that both of them are tahor, then ma'ika lamemar. So Rashi explains the following. You see, which is it a bigger chiddush that he is tameh? Is it the Eved Shemo V'lo Tavel or the Bnei HaShvachos Shemo V'lo Tavlu? So Rashi says the bigger Chiddush, obviously, is to say Bnei Shvachos Shemo V'lo Tavlu. If you say that they are Tameh, right, it's a... let me say it this way. If you say that an Eved Shemo V'lo Tavel is Tameh, you still... Well, I don't know what the din would be by Bnei Shvachos, right? I could have said, but Bnei Shvachos would be Tahar. So that's why the Braisa has to tell us that Avodim shemalo v'lo tavlu v'chein bnei hashvachos shemalo v'lo tavlu, that they're tameh. Right? You start out by the first case, that you're tameh by an eved shlomo taval, and we also have to tell you that bnei hashvachos are also tameh. But if you were going to tell us that the din is tahor, so once you tell us that eved shemol v'lo taval is tahor, I don't need to tell you bnei hashvachos shemalo tavlu is tahor. That's obvious. So Rashi says that if in fact you accept the lashon of tahor, the brisa doesn't make any sense, because the brisa should have told us two different dinim. It should have told us number one, it should have told, if they're not equatable, it should have told us that that eved shlomo v'lo taval is tahor, and I would have assumed kavuchomer bnei hashvachos shemalo tavlo tahorim, and then it should have told us that bnei hashvachos only make yayin nesach when they're gedol, not when they're katanim, and I would not have been able to work backwards to say and Eved Shlomo Taval also doesn't make Yayin Nesach when he's a katan, because that's a kavuchomer in the wrong direction. So if in fact Rav is correct, the Braisa, there should have been no linkage whatsoever. All you do is tell us that an Eved Shlomo Taval is Tahar, and I don't need to tell you anything. I don't need to say, and V'chein by a Bnei HaShvachos, and then tell me that Bnei HaShvachos make Yayin Nesach only when they Gedol, not when they Katanim. And I would assume, even by inference, that Eved Shlomo Taval makes Yayin Nesach all of the time. So if you had said that the Lashon was Tameh, that they both convey Tumah, so then I understand. Eved Shlomo Taval is Tameh, and also, not only him, but I also have to tell you that Bnei HaShvachos are also Tameh in that case. And then, by the way, Bnei HaShvachos, Gedolim make Yayin Nesach Tanim Dom. So that's what the Gemara's question is. That's the way Rashi explains the question. So the Gemara says, so why would you make a V'chein? In other words, there's no point in equating the two. There's no point in having a Braisa that puts the two in the same clause and equates them. So the Gemara answers, no. Hakamash Malan, Avodim Dumya de Bnei HaShvachos. The Braisa is coming to tell you, by equating them, it's equating them in the following way. It's equating them that when we put someone in this category of Eved, Shemo V'lo Tavel, it's just like Bnei Shvachos. Ba Bnei Shvachos, Malu V'lo Tavlu Huda Osei Nesach, Malu V'tavlu Lo. By Bnei Shvachos, it's clear. Once they do go to the mikveh, they don't make Yayin Nesach anymore. Why? Because even for Shmuel, who is concerned that an Eved who converts for 12 months afterwards, he's still talking about Avodah Zarah, that's only someone who was raised with Avodah Zarah. Bnei HaShvachos were raised in a Jewish context. It's clear, as soon as they go to the mikveh and they are technically Jewish, there's no more concern of Yayin Nesach. So Rav would say, that the Braisa making an analogy between Eved Shlomo Taval and Bnei HaShvachos Shlomo Tavlu is to teach you that just as Bnei HaShvachos, it's only Malu V'lo Tavlu, but once Malu V'Tavlu, immediately they don't make Yayin Nesach, so too in Eved Shlomo V'lo Taval, it's only if Lo Taval, but as soon as the Eved does the Tefillah, he doesn't make Yayin Nesach anymore, and that is La'afuke Midrach Nachman Amar Shmuel. That's too against. Rav would say the Brice is coming to teach you that Shmuel is wrong. The Amar of Nachman Amar Shmuel Halokeach Ovei Kochav Avodim and Ovei Kochavim Afal Pishal Malu V'lo Tavlu Osin Yai Nesach Malu V'Tavlu. I'm sorry. Osin it is V'Tavlu. Osin Yai Nesach At Shetishaka Avodas Kochavim Mipihem. So Kamash Malam that Shmuel is wrong. Now here I want to emphasize something that Tosus is going to make a point of on the next dot, and this is a crucial point. I want to ask you the following. Does Rav argue on Shmuel? Does he disagree with Shmuel's statement? Now, at first glance, that seems like a stupid question. Lenny says, the Gemara just said he disagrees. Not so fast. Rav only has to disagree with Shmuel if what? Only if you have the Lashon of Tahar. Right? In other words, if you have the Lashon of Torah and the Brisa, then the only way to explain the Vachain, the analogy, is to reject Shmuel's din, to tell you that Mol V'Taval, just like by Bnei Shvachos, no more Yayin Nesach, so too by an Eved. If, however, you adopt the Lashon of Tameh in the Brisa, then the Gemara already explained the Vachain for Rav without having to resort to rejecting Shmuel's din. Why is this so important? It's important in terms of the puzzle pieces of Psak Halacha, because if you supposedly, hypothetically, wanted to paskin like Rav, does that mean you have to reject Shmuel's din? Well, that depends. If you paskin like the Lishna Kama, the first Lashon, Tameh, you don't have to reject Shmuel. You could accept both Rav and Shmuel. Whereas if you want to paskin like the second Lashon of the Brisa, Tahor, then if you're going to accept Rav's din, you have to reject Shmuel's din. Okay? So that's what emerges at this point in the Gemara. Now the Gemara goes on to explain. So that we read until now. Now the Gemara says, Gufa. Let's go back about this statement. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halokeach, Avadim, and Ovdei Kochavim, Afal Pi Shemalu, Vitavlu, Osin Yayin Esach, Hachati Shaka, Ovadis Kochavim, Pihem. Fine, we just read that statement. Vikama. How long is that? Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Ad Shneim Asa Chodesh, up until 12 months. Okay. Now, here's an observation. Who was Rav Yeshua ben Levi? He was first generation Amor in Eretz Yisrael. Who was Shmuel? Shmuel was a first generation Amor in Bavel. And Shmuel is later than Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi certainly did not know of Rav or of Shmuel. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi was not commenting about Shmuel's statement. Tosos will point that out. But you could, on your own, without having seen Tosos, you could figure that out and realize that Yeshua ben Levi made his comment somewhere else. And the Gemara here has chosen to take that statement and use it to explain Shmuel's din. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi himself didn't know of Shmuel's din, wasn't responding to Shmuel's din, maybe he didn't know of Shmuel, I don't know exactly. Right? But Yeshua ben Levi here, being quoted, sheds nothing, no light on his own opinion. All we know is that he said that it takes 12 months for something. We don't know what, but he didn't necessarily say that in the context of Shmuel. Tosus claims that actually Rabbi Shmuel Levi made this claim in a different context. If you buy it, it's a Gemara in Yevamos, where he's quoted. If you look in the Mesores HaShas, I don't know if they quote it here. No, they don't quote it here. But the Gemara in Yevamos talks about if you buy an Eved from a non-Jew, so you have to convert him. Meaning, if you want to keep him as an Eved Kanani, he has to agree to convert. And if he doesn't agree to convert, you have to turn around, just you sell him to a guy. And the question is, how long do you have to try to persuade him, you know, to convert? So there, Tosa says, that's where Rabbi Shua ben Levi's statement was uttered in the context of Migalgal Imo, how long? Kol Yud Beis Chodesh. That's what Tosa claims. Okay. Satosa says that's the primary place for Shmuel Levi, but the Gemara uses it here to explain Shmuel's statement. Why that's relevant, we'll see when we get to Tosus.
How would you know that without going to Tosfos?
You wouldn't know, I certainly wouldn't have the Bekiyas to know where Shmuel Levi's statement was from, but you could on your own realize there's something fishy about it. Right? Just as there's something fishy when an Amora is arguing with Rabbi Akiva, because the two, you know, lived a couple hundred years apart. So you know that there's something going on. Either it's an error in the text, or, you know, there's something funny about it's not exactly a conversation. So in the same way, if you see Rabbi Shimon Levi commenting on something that Shmuel stated, so if you know the chronologies, you know that that's impossible.
Could Amora ever be Machmer on the Psak of Mishnah? Even if you're showing, couldn't Rav, even the Mishnah says that Tinokos, let's say, are not Mitame. And Rav is coming along and saying they are, and that it doesn't necessarily mean he may agree with the basic law of the Mishnah, but he's it's a chumro that he's applying.
So the answer is, you could have asked even better. Rav can argue on brises. Rav, sometimes we say, as a tana, can argue, but the Gemara prefers not. That's a last resort answer. But another answer could have been, you know, that this was a post brisa takana. But then Rav would have had to have said that. Now, it's the Gemara's assumption. You can ask me why, and I don't know. It was when Rav made that statement, he wasn't claiming there was a takana post-Mishnah in order to prohibit that. But the assumption is Rav was claiming that was really the Ikar Adin of the, you know, and there was no special takana. That's what I would assume.
Okay.
When they talk about Evet Ivri,
right,
they're talking about someone who had one of these semi-forced conversions, or are they talking about...
No, an Eved Ivri is someone who, before he became an Eved, was 100% Jewish. Right. An Eved Ivri would be best translated, and I think it's accurately translated, as an indentured servant. Right, the difference between an Eved Ivri and a worker is that a worker can back out of his contract essentially at any time. Right, ki livin Yisrael avadim avadayhem. So a poel is chozer bo b'chatzi hayom, and most unless he causes real damage, he can back out, and that's too bad. An Eved Ivri doesn't have the right to back out. An Eved Ivri is bound by the terms of his service.
So all servants though were required to adopt the religion.
So Eved Ivri was Jewish already, and Eved Kenani, to keep him, Chazal assume, he has to convert. He knows he has to have Mila and Tefillah, thus, he has mitzvahs like an Isha, even a male Eved, and then, when he is free, if he is freed, he then is a full Jew. Right? He's a Ger. I mean, he's the equivalent of a Ger. He's called an Eved Meshuchar. So that's the status of the Eved Kenani.
But I want to be a wiser guy here, but why can't we use the mechanism for converts today, saying let them like say you're go through an act when they become
okay, I'll answer
and
that,
then, and then you shachar them, and then they'll be a regular Jew. So, and they won't require all the stringency of conversion because they can sort of rely on the adon for.
I understand where you're going. So this is the same question that could be asked. The Mishnah has a suggested takana. If a man is a mamzer, how does he avoid his children being mamzerim? So it works because we go follow the matrilineal descent. This works only for a man. A man is a mamzer. The suggestion is he should marry. It's in the Mishnah at the end, the last Mishnah, the third Perek of Kiddushin. He should marry a shifcha kenanis. He should have children with her, and then free her and free them, and not have any more children. So the children are halachically not his children, but they are biologically his children, and they're not mamzerim because when a Jewish man or non-Jewish man for that matter has a child from a shifcha kenanis, the children have no connection to the father. So as long as the mother is just a shifcha kenanis, the children will not be mamzer eved. The children will just be avadim, free them, and so on. So answers: why can't we do that today, at least for male mamzerim? So the poskim say because in order for that to be a mamzer is not allowed to marry a goya. He's only allowed to marry a shifcha kenanis, and you can't have a shifcha kenanis today probably because din l'malchus adina prohibits it. So the sale itself is not recognized as binding to make the person to an eved kenani. So it would have to be a regular conversion. So that's the same answer to your question.
But she hasn't done tefillah yet then, shifcha kenani.
No. She's a real shifcha kenanis. She has mitzvos. She's all mitzvos. She has a kedushas. Again, an eved and a shifcha have an incomplete kedushas Yisrael, right, for yochsin purposes. But they're basically Jewish. But their children, the children of the shifcha, are shvachas and avadim. They have no kesher to the father from a halachic perspective.
Meshucharim, then they're fully.
Once you free them, that's totally different. If he marries a giores or a shifcha meshuchares, doesn't help because the children will be mamzerim.
The children who were born before.
Correct. Correct. Okay, so now, Esve Rabba of Nachman. Rabba asks a question against Shmuel, against Rabbi Nachman quoting Shmuel. And you might recognize this braisa, just a little bit. Halokech avadim in ovdei kochavim, shemolu v'lo tavlu, v'chein b'nei ashvacho, shemolu v'lo tavlu, rogan umidrasan bashuk tame, v'amri la tohor. Yenam gedolim osin yainesach, ketanim ein osin yainesach. Elohim gedolim, ve'elohim ketanim, gedolim sheyodim mitiv avodas kochavim mishamshah, ketanim sheyodim mitiv avodas kochavim mishamshah. Right, the exact same brisa. Now, why is this a question against Shmuel? So the Gemara explains. Katani mias, malu v'lo tavlu, in malu v'tavlu la. In other words, the brisa goes to tell you. The brisa tells you that both that eved shemol v'lo tavlu, bnei shvacho shemol v'lo tavlu, gedolim make yayin esach. Gedolim make yayin. Forget the ketanim part. Gedolim make yayin esach. What can you refer from the brisa? That it's because malu v'lo tavlu. But had it been malu v'tavlu, then eved shemol v'tavlu. And bnei hashvacho shemalu v'tavlu, do not make yayin esach, period. None of this 12-month period, at shishtakeh shem avadis kochav mipiv. So that's what the Gemara says. Malu v'tavlu in, malu v'lo tavlu in, malu v'tavlu lo. So the Gemara says, and an answer that might look familiar to you, tirgama abnei shvachos. Ah, Shmuel would say that when the Braisa emphasized malu v'lo tavlu, and that malu v'tavlu would be different, that's only by bnei shvachos, because they were born into a Jewish context. But, eved shemol v'lo tavlu, even if Mel Vitaval for a certain period of time, he might make Yayin Nesach when he might make Yayin Nesach. So the Gemara says, but Havet Chain Katani? It's the exact same question. So the Gemara says, Arukan Umidrasan. It applies just to one din, which is equated between the two. But the Yayin Nesach din is not the same between the two. The Yayin Nesach din would be different, because by Yayin Nesach, B'nei HaShvachos, Shemalu V'lo Tavlu, make Yayin Nesach when the Gedolim, but Malu V'Tavlu do not. Whereas an Eved, Shemal V'lo Taval, even when he's a Gadol, he makes Yayin Nesach, Ad Sheishtakeh, Shem Avodas Kochavim Himenu. Without looking, you can figure out the next question of the Gemara. Hanicha Lamanda Amar Tameh, Ela Lamanda Amar Tahor, Ma'ika Lameimar. It's the exact same, meaning it's exact concept, structurally, it's the exact same question in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, "Hakamash malan avadim dumya de bnei shvachos." No, there is an analogy between the two, but not for this din, and not for the din of Tuma, because it would make sense there. But rather, avadim dumya bnei shvachos. Ma bnei shvachos gedolim hu da osen yai nesach ketanim ein osen yai nesach. Af avadim nami gedolim osen yai nesach ketanim ein osen yai nesach. Now, the truth is, if you asked me, this is better pshat in the Braisa than Rav's pshat. Right? Now, that is the ikar part of the Braisa, the distinction between Gadol and Katan. Shmuel says, yes. Mol v'taval, there's a distinction between Avadim versus Bnei Shvachos. But the primary point of the Braisa, of Gedolim Osayin Nesach, Katanim En Osayin Nesach, that there's no distinction between the two, and that is... Lafuke mid the Rav, Ta'amah Rav, Tinok Ben Yomo, Osanyai Nesach, Kamash Malan, that even an Eved Shemol V'lo Taval, who was a goy before, an Eved Shemol V'lo Taval, Katan, doesn't make Yayin Nesach, against Rav. Now, I'll ask you a question again. If you paskin like Shmuel, does that mean you have to reject Rav? And the answer to the question is the exact same one that I gave before, which is, if you have the Lashon of Torah in the Braisa, if you paskin that way, if you read that way, then yes, holding like Shmuel means you reject Rav, holding like Rav means you reject Shmuel. If you want to say the first Lashon of the Braisa, Amri Latameh, then you can hold, both Shmuel could hold like Rav, Rav could hold like Shmuel. Okay, so that is the end of this Braisa. If it seems complicated just putting it together, it is. I've read it about 12 times, and only now is it sort of half clear in my head. But that's what the Gemara... It's a tortured reading of the Braisa a little bit, on both ends, right? The simplest reading of the Braisa is that it's mol v'lo taval in, mol v'lo taval in, mol v'taval lo across the board, right? And gedolim osen yai nesach across the board, ketanim esen. That would be the simplest... If left to our own devices, that's the way we would have read the Braisa. If you ask me who's reading... As if you have the Amri La Tahor is more tortured in the Braisa of the two, I think Rav's is a more difficult reading. But nonetheless, this is the way the Gemara presents it. So now the question is, why does this matter? Well, it matters big time. It matters big time because in medieval Ashkenaz, Jews were buying and selling wine of non-Jews. They weren't drinking it. They were buying and selling it. Whether it was right or wrong wasn't clear, but that was part of their economic survival. They weren't chas v'shalom drinking it. Now, the Gemara does have distinctions between cases where you can get hana, but you can't drink. Such a distinction does exist, but predicated upon how machmer we are, depending on how likely it was that they actually did something for Avodah Zarah. In other words, what we saw in a previous Gemara, the guy who fell off the tree with the lulav, without the lulav, whichever version of the Gemara, is that when there's a lack of intent to touch the wine, it's more likely to be at least mutter bahana, even if you're not allowed to drink it, right? So certainly there's a possibility of distinguishing between the two. But bottom line, the reality of Jews in medieval Ashkenaz was they made that distinction. Now, as we've explored many times before, it's not that they woke up one morning and someone walked and knocked on Rabbeinu Tam's door and said, Rebbe, you know, I came up with a svara. Maybe, you know, you should be allowed to sell Yayin Nesach and you can't drink it. That's not what happened. What happened was that Jews were doing it. The Balabatim were doing it and doing it probably for a while. They did it because they had to, in effect. And now the Balei Atosos were coming along and they had to deal with this. And were they going to say, Shkatzim, how could you possibly do such a thing? It's Avera Chamura, you know, you're all going to burn. Or does Tosa say, this is what the Kehila Kedosha does, and therefore it must be mutter for reason, we have to figure out why. And that's really, in other words, that's the Rekha, that's the backdrop to this Tosa. Tosa is going to go through explaining, putting the pieces of the Gemara together, but you have to, as you see, Tosa knows where he's going. Tosfos knows where he's going, because when the obvious routes gets, the doors get slammed in front of him, so then they find another route. But remember also, Tosfos is not willing to go down a certain road. He's not willing to adopt the reading of the Gemara that would suggest that you could in fact drink the wine, because it was so anathema to Jews, the notion that would be, I would say, probably was something that viscerally ma'us, disgusting, repugnant, about drinking the wine of non-Jews. Like, it just, for us it would be like, for some of us, eating pork. Would be, to eat nevela meat, so there's no difference between, you can't tell the difference between nevela meat and kosher meat, but eating shelf, eating lobster, right? There's something, I know some people think it looks appealing, personally not, but there'd be something for most of us to be so repugnant about it, right? It's not a function of the Isser. It doesn't, may not apply today, but in Apidim, when Jewish soldiers are in a Melchemes Mitzvah, and they enter non-Jewish territory and conquer their stuff, there's a din v'yachal tashlal ivecha, what the Gemara in Chulin calls kadli dechaziri, that you can eat the non-kosher food that you capture from the houses. The gzeres hakasev, that the soldiers are allowed to eat that, right? That becomes mutter. But I have to imagine, if it were, the Cheez-Its, didn't have the hechsher, the soldiers might want to eat it. If it were the lobster, I don't think the soldiers would have wanted to eat it. So yayin esach, yayin of goyim, even though it might look the same as the yayin, there was something repugnant to Jews about it. So Tosfos is not willing to conceive of the possibility of drinking it. And Jews, at least in this time, do not appear to have been drinking it. In the time of the Rama, if I'm not mistaken, if you look, it sounds like in the time of the Rama already, Shulchan Aruch, there were Jews who had sort of crossed that boundary. Again, it wasn't wine that was being libated. What?
What year is that?
Ramah is the mid-16th century.
And you say had to do that. What does that mean to you, that they had to?
It means that economic survival was the issue for the Jews. Why did the Jews, like we saw in the first Tosfos in the Masechta, why were the Jews doing business on Christians if Sunday, according to the Gemara, Sunday is a Yom Eid for Christians. So you're not allowed to do business with Goyim in Eretz Yisrael on Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, the 3 days before, and Sunday. And Chutzlar, it's only Sunday. Jews, that was the best market day, to be selling to the Goyim. If they didn't sell on Sunday, they wouldn't be able to survive. They'd be out of business. And many livelihoods were not open to Jews. Guilds were closed to Jews and so on. So basically, why did Jews do the money lending? The answer is because Christians weren't allowed to.
Right.
And it was one of the few things that was open, thus open to Jews.
But how does that translate into the wine? Why did they just stay out of the wine business?
Wine was a major commodity.
Right.
It was a major commodity. So when you needed to take a pledge from a guy, right, you loaned him money, right? So one of the things you would do is you take his barrels of wine. Today I wouldn't imagine that's such a it's certainly a major commodity, but it's not the lifeblood. If you told me coffee, that would be one thing, but but wine.
I think it had to do with the quality of the water too.
So that's why but Jews weren't drinking it. In other words, you're saying that more people had wine because they couldn't drink the water straight and the alcohol killed bacteria. That might be true. That is why, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, they drank wine and they drank diluted wine. So that could very well be. But certainly, for whatever, I say coffee wasn't known in Europe at that time. But for whatever the reasons, that may be
the
it.
Dark ages.
What's that?
That's why it's called the Dark Ages.
There you go. That's right, because they all went to sleep when it was dark. They didn't learn by the light because they had coffee and caffeine to keep them up. So bottom line is they were not drinking that wine, the Jews, but they were certainly, it was necessary from an economic perspective to at least be able to be handling it and in some way getting hana. And you don't, by the way, the Isser Hana from Yai Nesach, we're going to see at the beginning of the parent, it's not only to buy, to sell the wine when you get enough from that, it's not only to get physical enough from the wine, even if you're a truck driver. Right, the Mishnah is a donkey driver, right? But you're not allowed to rent your donkey out if you know its purpose is transportation, it's for moving yayin. Right, that's called being mistaker b'isurei hana, getting schar from isurei hana. Which, by the way, is not it's not a crazy question. I don't know how many from truck drivers there are, but I've actually had the shaila multiple times of someone, shaila came my way recently, of someone needing to make ends meet by working in a non-kosher restaurant. So one of the questions, the first question I asked is, are there any surah, is there real basar b'chalav there? Because if there's real basar b'chalav, and you are the waiter or waitress, and you have to bring the food out, that's called being mistaker b'surihana. So in other words, even if the Jews weren't really buying and selling the wine, there still would have been an element of taking it as a security and things like that. So it was part of their economic lifeblood. Okay, so now Tosfos starts to put the pieces of the puzzle together. So remember that we have to deal with here. We have to deal with Rav's statement. Tinok ben Yomo makes Yayin Nesach to make it usher to drink, not usher b'hana. Shmuel's statement that an Eved, not a Goy, who converts to become a full Jew, an Eved who converts to become the equivalent of Eved Kenani, makes Yai Nesach for 12 months. And then the question, which is totally not halacha lemaisa, but it nonetheless affects how we're going to paskal the other issues, do we say that Rokon u'midrasan is Tame or Tahar? So Tosus writes the following. Hashtacha, this is Tosus and Menzainam and Bein.
Yeah. So what, if it's not Asavar, no, why use the expression Yai Nesach? Use some other expression.
Because if you look at Rav in the previous statement, Rav said that Maga Shaloba Kavana is Motor Bahana. That's what the way Gemara does it. I don't know why, but that's the term they use. Okay. So Tosos on Zion Amid Bez, the big Tosos, the last one. La Fuke. So Tosos writes the following. Hashta Chazinan de la Haili Shana de Amri la Tahar. According to the Lashon of the Braisa, Tahar, Shmuel lesle de Rav de Amar Tinok ben Yomo. Shmuel must reject Rav's statement. De im kein lo asya hamasnisa kavase. If he weren't to reject Rav's statement, and the Braisa said Tahar, the Braisa would be a proof against Shmuel. Ela isle de Shmuel de Tinok ben Yomo. Eina osa yayinesech umutar af bishesia. Shmuel then, if you say Amri la Tahor, if you accept that lashon of the Braisa, Shmuel must reject Rav and believe that a tinuk ben yomo doesn't make yayinesech. Vehu hadin, not just a 1 year old, not a 1 day old, literally tinuk ben yomo is 1 day old. Vehu hadin ketanim sheinam yodim b'tiv avodas kochavim, even children who just don't who know nothing about avodah zarah, u ben yomo lav davka. Not Dafka Ben Yomo, a baby born on the first day doesn't make Yain Esach. That's number one. Two, Va'avadim Gedolim, Ava Pisha Malu V'Tavlu, Tzrichen Lahamten Yud Beis Chodesh, Lashkiya Shem Avodat Skochavim Mipiyam. So this is really incontrovertible. If you're going to Paschal like the Lashon of Tahar, then Shmuel will have to reject Rav, and presumably it's not just the Tinuk Ben Yomo doesn't make Yayin Esach, but it means any child, anyone who doesn't know, B'tiv Avodes Kochavim, will not make Yayin Esach, and it's mutter to drink that wine. But the Chumrah, the stringency is that if you have an Eved who converts, you have to wait 12 months before he can touch the wine. Now Tosa says, Upasku halachos gedolos, delo kirav betinok ben yomo. The Bahag, one of the Gaon in the halachos gedolos, paskins against Rabbi Tinok ben yomo. Right? He says that a Tinok ben yomo, apparently, is not Oseyai Nesach. Now this statement stands on its own. That's an unequivocal rejection of Rav on the part of the Bahag. But then he says, Rabbeinu Hananel, Nami Pasak Kishmor. Rabbeinu Hananel is effectively he's not officially a Gaon, but he's like one of the last of the Gaonim of that period. Rabbeinu Hananel, Nami Pasak Kishmuel, the Be'inon Shikua. Rabbeinu Hananel Paskins like Shmuel, that you require in the 12 months. Can the Mefarish Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in the Milse? As Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi explains Shmuel's statement. Now, as the Tosis is about to spell out what this means, the way he's quoting Rabbeinu Hananel is that the reason we paskin like Shmuel is because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi bothered to take the time to explain Shmuel's statement. And we always paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Tosis says, Upam achas, matza ri kosuv, betosefes halomnim lefnei Rabbeinu tam, shepasku the halacha kishmuel, hol vesava Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi kavasei. He found this sefer, we don't know what it was exactly, in front of the Talmidim, Rabbeinu Tam's Talmidim, that we paskin like Shmuel because Rabbi Shua ben Levi holds like Shmuel. V'halacha k'Rabbi Shua ben Levi legabe Rabbi Yochanan, v'kol shekein legabe Rav u'Shmuel she'en halacha k'mosam legabe Rabbi Yochanan. So Tosus makes the following equation. Rav Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan. That's a rule. And certainly Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, halacha Rabbi Yochanan. We also know that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, this is what Tosis is claiming, we always paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi against Rabbi Yochanan. So if A is bigger than B, and B is bigger than C, then A is bigger than C. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi against Rav, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wins. So if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in this case holds like Shmuel, it means we must paskin that way. Now, note, by the way, in this process, though, note that holding like Shmuel doesn't mean you necessarily reject Rav. It only means you reject Rav if you're holding like the Lashon and the Braisa of Tahar. But so far, Tosus hasn't gotten that far. So Tosus says that we must postulate Shum and Levi. V'gam b'seder tanoim v'amoroim, which I believe was a Gaonic work, one of the earliest works of rabbinic historiography. Seder tanoim v'amoroim, k'sivas yad harav agadah Rav Yosef Tov Elim. Rav Yosef Tov Elim, I think he's one of the Balei HaTosfos, but apparently he had a manuscript of Seder tanoim v'amoroim. Posek halacha kamosa b'chamachem. Paskins like Rabbi Shum and Levi all the time. The gam Rabbeinu Tam hevi harbe rayos alze v'kula minichu. Then Tosa says Rabbeinu Tam brought a lot of rayos that we paskin like Rishu and Levi, but those rayos can be pushed aside. Okay, but so far all Tosa says is we paskin like Shmuel. Okay, certainly Rabbeinu Chananel. Now the Bahag rejects Rab. That would stand on its own right, but Rabbeinu Chananel doesn't necessarily reject Rab. He just paskins like Shmuel. Now Tosa says the od pasak Rabbeinu Tam. Kilishna the Amar Rukanu Midrasan Bishuk Tahar. Rabbeinu Tam Paskin, like the lenient Lashon in the Brisa, the Bishel Sofrim Halecha Charamekel, because the din of Tuma by Rokan Midras of a guy is Midrabanan. And since there are two Lashonos in the Brisa, Rabbeinu Tam Paskin, Sveka, in effect, Halacha Kedivrei Hamekel by a din de Rabbanan. That's like Sveka de Rabbanan Lakula. Now, Ulafi Oso Halashon. Polik Shmuel Adarab Tinok Ben Yomo. If you're going to paskin Tahor, then and you paskin like Shmuel, then Shmuel must be rejecting Rav. Tinok Ben Yomo does not make Yai Nesach. Now here's the problem. The Ode Pirshu Rashbam Vaharivan. Rashbam was Rashi's grandson, his daughter's son. I think he only had daughters. They probably didn't put on tefillin. That's a myth. But Rashbam is his daughter's son. Vaharivan, who is one of his sons-in-law, B'shem Rashi. Shekosav b'tshuvas ha-gaonim, they quote the following psak from one of the responses of the gaonim, ki bizman hazeh ein iser hanah b'maga oved kochavim b'yayin. There's no prohibition of hanah from wine that a non-Jew touches, I mean even a Christian, ki ovdei kochavim shel achshav ein regilim l'naseich l'avodas kochavim. Gentiles today, Christians don't libate wine, and therefore v'chashuvim k'ein yodim mitiv avodas kochavim misham sheha v'havalahu k'tinok ben yomo. In other words, because they don't libate wine anymore, they're like Einam Yodeh Mitiv Avodotz Kochavim, which is like a Tinok Ben Yomo. They don't make Yayin Nesach.
But Christianity is Avodah Zarah?
Yeah, they're assuming okay. Christianity is Avodah Zarah. V'alze anu samchim, just that Christians are not Yodeh Mitiv Avodotz Kochavim. V'alze anu samchim legabos yena of the Kochavim mechavosenu. And so we rely upon that we collect wine of non-Jews for our debts. Right? If they don't pay the cash, that's what we take, you know, as collection. Collateral and collection. Okay.
Then it still only applies to the non-Gadol.
What?
I mean, the Brisa makes a situation Gadol and Ketan.
No, but the Chiddush of Rashi in the name of the Tshuvas Agonim is that in his time, the Gadolim were like Ketanim. They were Einam Yodim Mitivaros Kochavim. Right? The Gemara said, what's the definition of a Gadol? What's the definition of a Katan? A Gadol is Yodea, Mitivaros Kochavim Shavshah. A Katan is Eni Yodea. Right? The Brisa is certainly not saying, Lechule Alma. It's a bit chiddush what the Tshuvas Agonim is saying. But you would agree that in one side it might be a 3-year-old, in another side it might be a 5-year-old, in another side it might be a 7-year-old. You wouldn't have said a 20-year-old, you wouldn't have said it could be a katan. But Rashi's claim in the name of the Tshuvas Agonim is because they don't libate wine anymore, they're like the equivalent to Einam Yodeh Mitivaros Kochavim, even when they're what we call Mamish Gedolim. They're 50 years old, and they're still treated like Tinuk Bayomo for this din. Now here's the problem though. I mean, it sounds nice. The aldavar zeh. Now, if you just put the math, you did the arithmetic, the addition here. The aldavar zeh shalach ri Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's great grandson, sent to his uncle Rabbeinu Tam. Tachazi the minachu meavucha meachuch mishri mago b'chav miyain la'alma afilu b'shasiya. Based upon what you say, you're basically just permitted drinking of non-Jewish wine. Now you could have said. Okay, well, that's the logical conclusion. The answer is no. There was no havam that could have been the answer. So now we re-explain. The achuch Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam pasach b'shem of avimech Rabbeinu Shlomo, the oved kochavim mizman hazeh einam chashum elak entinok ben yomo. So they paskin that today all goyim are like tinok ben yomo. But that doesn't mean that it's mutter to drink the wine. That's only if you reject Rav. Rav said that Tinok Ben Yomo osa yayin nesach to make it also to drink at least. And the atah posek b'tinok Ben Yomo kishmuel the islay de'ena osa yayin nesach lesor ap b'shasiyah. And you paskin like you paskin rejecting Rav. And Rabbeinu Tam, he's assuming now, Rabbeinu Tam did say one thing. Rabbeinu Tam said, Tahor. Amrin la Tahor, we paskin like that Lashem. He's assuming Rabbeinu Tam accepted the psak of Shmuel. Why? Because in his base medrash, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, we always paskin like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So, v'heshiv lo Rabbeinu Tam, ki ha-talmud shekasav nival haya lifsok. The Talmud who wanted to paskin that way, putting the pieces together, did it in too much of haste. V'chas v'shalom shelo ola alibo. Chas v'shalom, I mean chas v'shalom. If you work the halacha through and you come to the right conclusion, sometimes it's motor, sometimes it's aser. Chas v'shalom, the wine cannot be drunk. Cannot. Ela vadai, Rabbeinu Tam says, kaimelon kirabi isure lagabi shmuel. I don't paskin like Shmuel. V'tinok ben yoma osa yayinesach lesar b'shisiyah. That's why when Christians today who are gedolim touch the wine, they're like tinok ben yoma, as Rashi quoted in the name of Tshuva Sagonim, but it's still usher to drink the wine, because the tinok ben yoma is osa yayinesach b'mago. Number one. Number two. V'ovdei kocham mizman azez. I just said, v'adehe k'tinok ben yoma k'psak ben shlomo. Three. V'gam ein halacha k'shmuel ba'avadim shlomo lo tavlu. We don't paskin like Shmuel ba'avadim shlomo lo tavlu. L'hatzrich yud beis chodesh la'shkia. Why? The habraisa mapka. Once you paskin like Rav, and you paskin tahor, you can't paskin like Shmuel anymore, and therefore, once the Eved converts, you don't have to wait 12 months, and he can touch the wine. Ah, but you remember Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, ve'ein lahak shos Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the mashma, the kai kavase, the Rabbi Yeshua ben the kai kavase. It sounds like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi paskins like Shmuel. Tosa says, wrong. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, lo kai al devei Shmuel lefaresh dvar. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wasn't explaining what Shmuel's statement. It's when one Amora explains a prior Amora statement, the fact that he takes the time to explain it would suggest that he holds that way. I know that's not 100% true, but that's the starting assumption. Tosa says, Rabbi Shimon Levi never explained Shmuel's statement. The ha ihu kashish mine hava. Rabbi Shimon Levi was older than Shmuel. The ikar dvarav shel Rabbi Shimon Levi never be yavamos perak acholetz gabe alokeach even ma'ovde kochav megalge imo yid beis chodesh. The Rabbi Shimon Levi made his statement in terms of when you buy a guy, how long do you have to convince him to an eved? You know, you buy a guy, an eved is a guy who's an eved. How long do you have to convince him? Rabbi Shimon Levi said you have 12 months to convince him, otherwise you turn around and resell him. The Talmuda, but the Shas, the Gemara, Kavahaha the Farusha Milsa de Shmuel. The Gemara used Rabbi Shimon Levi's statement here. In other words, Vikama Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi never said that. Meaning, he did say those words. He just didn't say that here. He said it elsewhere in the Gemara. And by the way, it's not Tosis is not saying this. It is possible Rabbi Shimon Levi would have turned around and said, firstly, not only he might have said I don't hold like Shmuel, or he might have said even if I do hold like Shmuel, I don't hold that the standard is 12 months here. I hold it's a different amount of time. Right, you no way knowing that the Gemara here claims that according to Shmuel, the period is 12 months. Rabbi Shimon Levi, if he did hold the Shmuel, might disagree with that. Even though they quote Rabbi Shimon Levi, because Rabbi Shimon Levi didn't say anything. He didn't say this. He said something else, and the Gemara just uses it here. This is a classic method of academic Talmud, to recognize the pieces of a sugya that the Gemara might import from one context to another context.
So why did the Gemara do it then?
I suspect because when you have an oral tradition, familiar pieces are easier to use. Right? In other words, the Gemara believes the period is 12 months.
Right.
So the Gemara borrows an expression of Shimon Levi from a place which it thinks are sort of conceptually equivalent on some level. Even though they're not exactly the same thing. The Gemara, there are cases which are, I'd say, quote-unquote, worse than this, where the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Ksubas, Dav Yud, Chazaka ein adam tarech besuda umafsida. And if you look at that statement, it's Chazaka that a man doesn't spend all the money on a wedding for the purposes of turning around, let's say, and making a false accusation against his wife. It's in the context of Ksuba, whether she's a psula or not. There are two other places in Shas where that exact same quote is made, same expression. But if you look at the other two sugyas, each one is different. In other words, the meaning of the statement is different in those contexts. And it's clear that whoever made that statement only made it in one of the three contexts. The Gemara has chosen to use the concept with a different valence in other sugyas. So why bother then doing that? The answer is because it's a familiar expression. That's my guess as to why they engage in this, of doing this kind of thing. But it doesn't really matter why. As a factual premise, it's clear that Rabbi Shimon Levi could not have been commenting on Shmuel. Right? Even if he would agree. You know. So, but once Rabbi Shimon Levi wasn't commenting on Shmuel...
I'm saying I'm more suspect of Tosfot, who's trying to explain something that's happening in fact, than maybe he did say it in this context, and he happened to say it again in another context.
Well, except that chronologically he can't be commenting on Shmuel. That's the point.
But he could be. could have been making the same statement about the same sugya, but, and the person knew it was
but
the same.
We have no statement. We have no statement that Rabbi Shua ben Levi claiming
right.
that goy shemol v'lo that evet shemol v'lo tovah was osei anesh hashishtakeh shemol
v'skol chalmei. Well, it's a oral tradition that.
Okay, you're being crumb. You're accusing Tosa of being crumb.
Right.
So it's possible, but Tosa's...
Look at the confusion this caused, by the way. I thought, what happened to Chacham Tizoro B'Devrechem? This is confusion this caused.
So the answer is that Rishonim knew how to reach us.
Right.
That Tosa uses this method in many, many, many places. Where Tosus recognizes the distinction between, I'll call the Amoraic statement and the interpretation. What's more common than this is not a name statement, but when you have a statement to the Amora and then you have the Perush. Very often the statement is in Hebrew, the Perush is in Aramaic, and Tosus will point out that the Amora didn't give that reason. It's the Gemara giving that reason, and sometimes Tosus will use that to explain, because if you look at the same statement of the Amora in another sugya, another place in Shas, a different reason is given. And Tosus will explain, there's no contradiction between what the Amora said. The Amora made the same statement, there is a machlokas as to what the Amora meant. If you're interested in seeing sort of a starting point in that, if you look at the top tosos on the last Amud and Bava Basra, I think it's Kufayim Vav Amud Aleph, the top tosos of that Rapapa's statement, Tosos gives you an example there of how to resolve a contradiction between the Gemaras by sort of splitting apart what the Amora said and the commentary in the Amora, and Tosos claims you have this a lot in Shas.
But is it unusual in legal theory in general, to kind of adopt something from somewhere else?
Well, you can have...
This is not... I don't want to call this legal theory. This is literary. Yes. It's literary. It's not legal.
You can have general principles that come
literary.
From a set of facts completely different. So, your way to refute that is to say, well, it was from a case that was totally unrelated.
Let me frame it differently in this particular context. One could even argue that Rabbi Shua ben Levi would agree that if you required Ayishtachi Ishtakeh Hashem Avodas Kol Chaimenu, of course it would be 12 months. That's obvious. In other words, it could be that the drawing the analogy between Yavamos and here is perfectly rigorous. Except that the issue is not whether or not the shear should be 12 months. The issue is whether you should have to wait at all. And now, if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi were deigned to comment on Shmuel, it would mean he took Shmuel's statement seriously. If all we're doing is importing the identical conceptual equivalent from a different context, so it's true. If you're going to pass it like Shmuel, Rabbi Shua ben Levi would tell you, if you're going to pass it like Shmuel, you absolutely would say 12 months is the amount of time. But Rabbi Shua ben Levi might say, we just don't pass it like Shmuel, we don't know. So just realizing that from a literary perspective, his statement wasn't formulated on Shmuel, it was formulated in a different context, it might be, he would definitely agree that for Shmuel, 12 months would be the waiting period, but he might say, I don't hold a Shmuel at all. And I never said anything about Shmuel. The reason I didn't bother to comment on Shmuel is because I don't hold like him. Right? In this case, he didn't bother to comment on Shmuel because Shmuel wasn't alive yet, in effect, for these purposes. So you could even argue that they're perfectly conceptually equivalent, but still, as long as Rabbi Shimon Levi wasn't responding actually to Shmuel's statement, then it doesn't tell you he paskins like Shmuel at all. Right? It's fair to say, according to the Gemara, that if Rabbi Shimon Levi were to paskin like Shmuel, 12 months would be his period of time. Yeah,
I'm a little troubled by the rapid rejection of Rashi's grandson's statement. Well, then we can drink it also. The rapid rejection.
Well, that's what I started by telling you that in Tosos, it's like that metaphor about the Magid and his stories, right? I asked him, how do you always have the perfect stories for the occasion? He says, let me tell you a story, right? So once upon a time, I encountered an archer, and he had finished shooting, and every arrow was like right around the middle of the target. I said, how do you shoot so well? He said, you have to understand. First, I draw the target, then I shoot the arrows, then I draw the target. Right? So you have to understand when you're reading Tosos, is Tosos knows the two targets. He knows that you can't drink the wine, and he knows you have to make it mutter b'hana. Right, because you cannot. He knows you can't drink it because, of course, you can't drink it. It's also according to the Gemara, and Jews and Ashkenaz weren't drinking it. Right. He also knows that you can't say it's aser b'hanah because you would be impugning the kehilah kedosha of Ashkenaz. What they're doing must be mutter, and we just have to figure out why. That's the standard method.
I just want to go to the point of saying if this law was established by the rabbeim in order to prevent avodah zarah from entering into the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that law no longer applies because wine is no longer used mm-hmm. for avodah zarah. How do you have the rabbinic power to overcome the original reasoning?
So wait, Tosos will get to that at the end. You got to let Tosos finish. This is an unbelievable teaching, Tosos, on so many levels.
Yeah, that's a...
And if you do have that power, that
Why can't we do it for everything else? I know. I've given shir on this year already.
We might solve the Aguna problem.
So,
or others.
No, that's not examined the Rabbanan.
No, no, no.
Other issues.
Well,
2 days of Yom Kippur. Hold on. Wait. Let Tosfos finish. Okay. So,
where were we?
So, if you look for the Avamos Memches Amid Beis, it's the line right below that. So, Rabbeinu Tam just said, we hold like Rishu Levi, but he didn't paskin like Shmuel. So now, Mihu, the second word on the line. The line begins with the Shmuel. The second word, Mihu, Haya Rimaksha, Aflafizeh HaPsaksha, Pasak Rabbeinu Shlomo, Karabatino Ben Yomo. The Re said, Rashi's Psak doesn't make sense. That's Shuv Zagonim. Why? He says, Akati Heich Natir Maga Oveit Kochavim. Mitam Tinok Ben Yomo. How can you use the argument Tinok Ben Yomo to permit when a guy who's an adult touch the wine to permit it Bahana, right? That's the key. We permit it Bahana. The Re says, how can you permit it Bahana? Ma inyan ze leze. How can you compare a Tinok Ben Yomo to a guy who's an adult? Vahalo masha anu matiram betinok iser hana. The reason why I permit by a Tinok, hainu mishum she'en bo afilu kavanas maga. The child doesn't even mean to touch the wine. He has no clue. He's flailing around, the Tinok Ben Yomo. How can you compare that to an adult guy? Granted, he doesn't know about Tiv Avodas Kochavim Misham Sheha, but he knows that he's touching the wine. V'im kein, av ovde kochavim bisman hazeh, shemechavnim lemaga, ye osru afilu bahana. The ha'al karchach, we have no choice but kaimalon, shechamura kavanas maga, af below kavanas nisuch, mehecha deleka kavana klau. There's a big difference between when you have no intent to touch it, as opposed to when you have intent to touch it, but no kavanas maga, because we saw that by the lulav story, as he says, they immediately preceding the gemara to where we started today. Now, okay, so this is the kasha. So you really haven't worked out well why it's about the bana. So the chazar Rabbeinu Tam va'amar. Rabbeinu Tam now comes back and says, "Devadai mitocha halachos lo matzinu raya pshuta lahatir maga over kochavim b'yayin va'af lo stam yena bana." So Rabbeinu Tam says, "You're right. Wait, we don't have a proof yet." To permit maga of a goy bahana, or to sell the wine of a goy stamyenam. The only heter we do know from the Gemara is ki im lemochor laose of the kochavim atzmo ki the amar of Ashi lekamon the mishkal dame mehu of the kochavim denaschei shari. The Gemara explains later that once your yain becomes yain esach, you can't sell it to a goy. You can't get an offer from it. There's one exception: if the goy is there who touched your wine, you can sell it to him. You know why? Because you're not selling it to him because that goy damaged you. He damaged you by touching the wine, so he's not paying you, he's not buying the wine from you, he's paying you for the damage he did to you. My taima, mikle kalye, it's as if the guy burned your wine. O yim kirenu osa ov de kochavna, o te chavna kamoshe mocha, letzarech atzma. Forget what that case is. The based upon the Gemara, the heter of Hana for when a guy touches the wine is exceedingly limited. Rabbeinu Tam acknowledges that. But he says, Avahed Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, Al Rabbeinu Meir Aviv, he says his father, Rashbam was his brother, Rashmul ben Meir, so Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Meir was Rabbeinu Tam. Kipam nis damin lo yayin esech vesida biyadayim. Now, once his father, you know, somehow came into this yayin esech, and he poured it out. He refused to get Hana from it. But the afal pikein lo ratzah Rabbeinu Tam lesar ho'alu pashad ha-minag lahatir. Rabbeinu Tam did not want to prohibit it because the minag had become widespread to permit it. V'hanach li'yisrael shi'yushogun v'ayidim izidin. And better not to say anything, but that's not enough for Rabbeinu Tam. If you know Rabbeinu Tam, he's got to figure out why it's really mutter. When we koma kom, lismach ha-minag hevi k'tzas raya. Rabbeinu Tam brought up a little bit of raya. Shenidna stam magon l'modeid b'kana. He said that a guy touching wine today is like in the Mishnah when a guy measured with a measuring stick. The Amridon Yimacher, we say that the wine may be sold. The Mishnah will say later, Mishum Dol Niskaving the Nisuch. The guy did not intend to be Menasech when he stuck the ruler in to measure how deep the wine is in the pit. And Vafilum Nindameu Limidado Biyad, you might say that's not a good comparison. The comparison of the guy touching the wine today should be if the guy stuck his hand into the bar to see how far the wine goes. And there, Rabbi Nosson says it's Azerbana. So Tosa says that Shari the Rabbanon, the Amri Yimacher. The Rabbanon, who argue Rabbi Nosson, say it's permitted, even there, it's permitted to sell the wine, even though he touched it with his hand, because he touched it just to measure it. V'ad kan lo asa Rabbi Nosson b'medado b'yad, al mishum de'gozar medida d'yad, atu shishuch d'yad. Even Rabbi Nosson, who prohibits banos, because he makes exera when you measure it with your hand, lest you come to the guy, he's actually mishashech b'yad. He shakes it, that's what they would do to designate it for Avodah Zarah. V'ikai mishashech, asi l'nasol is kocham. And if he does that, then he actually might be menasechet. Avodah Zarah. There's really no concern with nisuch. It's not the most compelling, absolutely convincing argument Rabbi Natan makes. If you want to say you pascha like the Rabbanan, and if you medado biyad, use your hand to measure, it would be mutter b'hana, and the guy touching it today is no different than that. That I understand, because there's no, the guy touches it on purpose, but there's no kavanos nisuch. There's no intent to be menasech. And the Gemara, if you hold like the Rabbanan, it means that that's mutter b'hana. You could say that by the goyim today. So now Tosus asks your question.
And why isn't that as compelling an argument? That seems more compelling.
Rabbanan, as opposed to saying, even for Rabbi Nosson, who holds the Medado Biyad as Asur Bahana, but that's only because there you make a Gzeir on Medida that you might come to be Meshach Sheikh, and Meshach Sheikh is only a concern because, right, that's already stretching Rabbi Nosson. But if you hold like the Rabbanan, that's fine. That's legitimate. Now Tosus asks the question. V'im tomar, kevan de gazru al nisach oved kochavim, haver le davar shibiminyan de tzarach minyan acher latiro. It doesn't matter that the reason doesn't apply to us. If they made a gzera on it, the gzera still applies today. If it was made a gzera with the Sanhedrin, you need another Sanhedrin to undo it. Sevi'esh lomar, Tosa says not. You could say, delo gazru el al ha-menaschim. No, the original gzera was only on those goyim who are menasich. V'kevan dahash delo havu menaschim v'odes chochavim, yesh lit los leheter. Now, of course, you're going to ask, how do you know? How do you know? Satosa says, "V'raya l'davar midamrinam perik basra." The Rava shadar korban on the bar sheshach biyom edo. Rava sent a present, not a korban. It means a matana. It's a doron. He sent to bar sheshach, who was a guy, on the day of his festival. Amar kimli begavei de lo palchum was kochavim. Rava did it. Why did he do it? You're not allowed to do that. The answer is, he said, "I know he doesn't worship avodah zarah." The afal gav the gamas o matan biyom edam haya davar shebeminyan. None, even though the Mishnah prohibits it, and the Mishnah should be a davar shebeminyan, the first Mishnah in the Masechta. Nonetheless, v'lo hutzruch minyan acher latiro lahanu de lo azlu umodu. Rava didn't require another Sanhedrin to permit it. Rava said, if these guys don't worship with the Zara, then the gzera of the Mishnah doesn't apply to them. Kivade mitchila lo gazru aleim. They never would have made such a gzera. Now, again, you ask the question, how do you know that? Now, I'll tell you what the answer is, Lenny, for Tosfos. Tosfos, nobody came along and was matir this. Tosfos didn't wake up one morning, like I always say, why do Ashkenazim and Ami Sardim, why do they dance on Yom Tov? It's also according to the Mishnah. It's also according to the Gemara. We don't know how to fix musical instruments anymore. So what? It doesn't matter. It was Xera. So the answer is Tosfos didn't wake up one drab morning in northern France, Simchas Torah time, and it was cold out, and said, let's liven things up here and let's dance. That would be nice. No. The Jewish people were dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Gemara, in time of the Gemara too, the Gemara said, Mutav Shi Shogar Yumizidin. It's Aser. But better not to tell, they won't listen. Tosus comes along and says, but Vanan, what about us? Because we're from. Those people talking about they weren't so from, but us, how can we do it? Tosus is not willing to accept Mutav Shi Shogar. Tosus says, we're not Bikiyim B'Tikun Kleshir. And as I always point out, Tosus didn't say you're allowed to play musical instruments on Shabbos if we're not Bikiyim B'Tikun Kleshir. It's the exact same reason for both Xeris, not to play instruments, not to dance, as you might come to fix the musical instruments. So why is dancing okay and musical instruments not? The answer is because people weren't playing musical instruments, but they were dancing. And for the Minhag Yisrael, that must be okay. So that's what Tosfos says here. That's what Tosfos says. So fundamentally speaking, as a tool for dealing with halakhic matters going forward, it's a useless tool because it's only post facto justification. There is a conceptual basis for it also. I don't think if anybody has spelled this out. But the only reason why the Talmud Bavli is binding, the only reason why it's there was no Sanhedrin for most of these things. The Beis Din HaGadol disappeared after the year 30. It was no longer an official Beis Din HaGadol. So why is the Talmud Bavli binding? Because Klal Yisrael accepted it upon themselves. So if Klal Yisrael, a broadly enough segment of observant Klal Yisrael, doesn't observe this gzer anymore, that is the minyan acher lahatira. Anyway, Tosus then closes with one final problem. Tosus says, but one second. So Tosus says, the last question is, third line from the end, second word. Mihu, kasha, stam yenam hechnatir bahana. Forget. Tosus is talking about right now if a guy touches your wine. But what about stam, that's your wine. What about stam yenam, which is the guy's wine? Stam, in other words, the reason, the only gzera on a guy touching your wine had nothing to do with intermarriage. It had to do with avodah zarah. But Tosus says, there's a gzera on stam yenam of non-Jews, and that gzera was made because of intermarriage.
So any of our Gemara is talking about that, stam yenam?
No, but Tosus was. Tosus said they permitted Maga over the Kochavim and Staminim. If you read carefully, I didn't emphasize it earlier, Tosus points that they permitted both. In other words, when you took the guy's wine as payment, that wasn't a Jew's wine that a guy touched. It was the guy's wine, Mamish. That was Staminim. Satosa says, Miyukasha stam yenam hechnate bana. Kaven should gazrual stam yenam yishum beno sayem. The hagamata shaykh zetam. Intermarriage, that reason still applies today. Right? You can still intermarry with Goyim, even Tosus Stan. And today, certainly. So how could they permit stam yenam? Why did the Chachamim, why were they goes there that Stam Yenam is Aser Bana, whereas when it came to Pasakum and Bishulakum, right, and Shemanakum when it was still Aser, they only prohibited it to eat, to consume, not to get Hanah from. So Tosu says, Mishum deshchichi lenasuche lavodes kocham. The only reason why they prohibited Stam Yenam Bahano is because they also had an avodes zara concern. Aval ata shebatel nisuch she'enam yodem mitivados kochavim. Today, where the reason of Yai Nesach is no longer relevant, dayo, it is sufficient, lios kepitam v'shamnan, o kebishulayakum, it's enough to treat Yayin like pasakum, shemanakum, bishulakum, lesser b'shesia velo bahana. To only prohibit it in consumption and not actually getting hana. Hamachmir tava la bracha. This is just an unbelievable tosus. Hamachmir tava la bracha. But
you want
a bracha. You should, you know, person's machmir, so he'll get brachas. Okay.
But the answer was
a colleague of mine once commented about the Gemara says that someone who does malacha on Tisha B'Av, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, does, who works on Tisha B'Av, so eino ro siman bracha la'olam. He doesn't see a siman bracha for the money for, you know, ever. But a certain senior colleague of mine has commented, yes, siman bracha you don't see, but it does pay the rent. So, hamachmir tava wala bracha. Hamachmir tava bracha. It's good to be machmir, but nonetheless, in the situations, you know, I'll tell you, and it's relevant sort of today, it's relevant today. If supposing you had non-mushal wine and your non-kosher help might have touched it, so the appropriate, in other words, I know this is hard for people to hear. So you're tempted to say, well, just give it to your help. You know, I mean, you may not want to give it to her. You want to tell her, why am I giving you the wine? But you might give it to someone, give it to the doorman or something like that. But the problem is that is a kind of hana. It would be better, according to Tosus, ideally, in that case, because there's no real hefsay to you. You're not losing anything. It's not like your commerce depends upon it, to pour out the wine rather than to give it to someone. So again, I'm not saying you mechuyev, hamachmir tava labracha, but that would be the case. So Tosus was dealing with a case of economic reality.
What's the problem when you pour it if you don't touch the wine, but you're only touching the bottle?
So let's, well, you have to wait till I come back in July, because the next Gemara is not going to start to deal with the issue of pouring, and what exactly are the rules, what are the physical parameters how you make Yayin Nesach.
But the Tosfot had they had to come to a certain decision here.
Yes.
It all comes to the fact that they were not going to tell the Jewish people,
this is not the most compelling textual maskanos of the sugyas. That's very clear. Tosfos knows that. There's no question about that. The way Professor Jacob Katz really describes this is that you have to see communal practice as a text. And just as when you have one text in a Gemara and another text in a Gemara that contradict one another, what did the Balei Atosus, what was their method? The classic dialectic method of trying to resolve the two, right? The Chachmei Sfarad, the Rambam, the Gaonim, their approach, again, nobody always adopts the same approach, but the Gaonim and the Rambam had a much greater tendency to say, Machlokas HaSugis Yipash, like one over the other. Tosos engages in acrobatics to avoid, sometimes they give that answer, but they do everything they can to avoid giving that answer. They resolve the two texts. In the same way, when you have a text and you have communal practice, this, you have to treat the practice of Kehila Kedosha of Ashkenaz as a text. If you have a contradiction, you have to make a resolution just like you would do, so that both texts hold true. Gabe, you had a question.
Yes, so at the end of the day, we're saying that we paskin like Rav.
So Rabbi Natam's, we paskin like Rav, yes, we do. And it's Mutta Bahana, but also
Bishasiya. But Rav made a statement, he just says it makes Yayin Nesach, so how does that imply that's only Yayin Nesach
So that's based upon the Gemara previously, the previous sugya, that Rav, when they asked Rav, they said, Rav Kanan Rasi, on Nun Zayin Amad Aleph, the third line, narrow line, third of the last narrow lines, V'hamar hu da'amar tinak b'yim osayayin nesach, amar lehu, emar da'amar yinah b'shesiyah b'hanami amri. So Rav said, tinak b'yim osayayin nesach, and Rav said, I mean shesiyah, not hana. Right. So what? So the only...
So
this,
wait,
yeah.
Okay. You'd be a better learner to be Tosfos than, you know... You have to know a lot of stuff.
Listen, this is my fourth or fifth time reading Tosfos. I went through this morning and I put in all the little marks.
And you expect us to know it after one reading?
Of course. Bechina will be when I come back. Anyway.
At least 10 times.
Okay.
You have to repeat it 10 times.
Where did Katz, is this a tradition in crisis?
It's probably over. My wife would know better. Exclusiveness and tolerance.
In the Shabbos
Goy,
it's all the same. The Jews were doing things.
That has been, and Sephardi, I don't know, I don't want to say all Sephardi Poskim, time, but I think that influence of Ashkenaz eventually probably carries over to Sfarad. But the Rambam, when you look at the Rambam's view, the Rambam's attitude is this. You read the Rambam in Mishneh Torah. The Rambam's attitude is, this is the din of the Gemara and sometimes the Gaonim. Communal practice be damned. That's the Rambam's attitude. I don't care what they're doing. It's wrong. Right? There is a very narrow strain today. You know who Chacham Faur and some of his followers are very much in that mold. Even some of YBT, Rabbi Chait, you get some of this is also. In other words, it's a view of halacha that is very, I'll call it ahistorical, in the sense of that you don't really care that the evolution of halacha, if your reading of the text brings you to a different conclusion, and you might be right at the reading of the text, we don't care what people are doing, it's wrong. That is not the classic attitude of psak halacha for the last 1,000 years in Ashkenaz, and probably not for the last 600-700 years in Sfarad. We are not originalists. Very few poskim are that. You know, the Gra is a little bit of a throwback, right? But the Gra was a super giant, but really for most poskim, there are people who have practices. They'll say they're Graniks, but for the most part, poskim, the Gra is outside of the mainstream of Psak in that way. In that he was willing, he didn't care what sometimes the Rishon said, he was going to interpret his own way. And again, the Gra was a genius, so he knew Shas forwards and backwards. And there are people who sort of adopt the Gra practices, but that's not mainstream.
Israel, his Talmidim, there's a lot of practice.
Yeah, but really that methodology is not a methodology I think that's taken root. It's more sort of a classic developmental method of halacha.
He also said, I studied with him, he also said that the Ashkenazim don't know how to study Gemara. Very, very Sfardi Tahor.
Okay, yes. Okay.